You're listening to the Embrace Running Podcast. I'm Mark.
I'm Elena, and this is episode number 160 for March 18th, 2015.
Welcome back. We're here every week talking about running. What's the plan for today? Today we're going to be kind of focusing on the big races from this past weekend, which were the New York City Half and the LA Marathon. So probably spend a chunk of time. I think LA is going to take up the most amount of time. And then at the end, we'll probably finish it off with a little bit of a race recap from the race we did this past weekend, which is the Badger Cove Half, which we've actually talked about in the past, which is why we're not going to spend a ton of time on it. But it was actually a different course, so we'll talk a little bit about it.
And your first time doing the half there, right?
Correct.
Although it was a different course than before. But
correct.
Yeah.
So that's the plan for today. Let's kind of start off with sharing how our week has gone. You're up first.
My week was pretty good. I'm looking back here. Oh, no, wait. No, that wasn't a great week. Just kidding. It wasn't that great. I was just remembering. So it was week 11 of my training plan for Boston to Big Sur. And I was not feeling great. I was kind of sick for a couple of days. So how quickly we forget, right? So, which I guess is a good
That's
thing.
That's a good thing. Yeah,
it's a good
I think
thing.
So
I wasn't feeling well for a few days. So I didn't, it wasn't a great week. I ended up not running as much as what was on my plan, but still managed to get on the bike 3 days, do 1 day of weight training. I did run for 4 days, just a little over 30 miles. So not bad for not feeling well, but definitely not what was on my plan. And I think had I not had the half marathon to do, then it would have been even less mileage, I think. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was kind of a way to get more mileage in that way. What else am I going to say? Oh, I mentioned last time that the race readies
were had
back,
ordered some.
And I had ordered some, and I have them. I'm so excited. And I'm not wearing them yet because I still have the other ones, but I'm so excited to have them.
So you're just kind of stocking those away for the future?
Exactly, yeah. So I just have like backups. I don't know if this is related, but I wrote it down.
Mm-hmm.
I turned my desk at work into a standing desk.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's like fitness related, right? Not so much like training, but I did that. And last week was my full week that I was standing at work. And I guess I would say that I spend about 50% of my time at work at a desk. So I'm standing for over 50% of my time now at work, which is way better than before. I know some people stand or walk or do other physical things for 100%, but that's a step up. And it was a little getting used to, you know, trying to figure out what shoes are the best shoes to wear for that, because some feel better than others, but I feel better. I don't feel as lazy, I guess, when I'm at work, if that makes sense. Not that I really have the opportunity to be lazy, but I just didn't feel as sluggish. So this is the second week. We'll see how it goes. So kind of excited about that.
No, I mean, it's definitely, I think, a really good thing. I mean, there's been lots of discussion, I think, over the last couple of years about how bad for you just sitting is throughout your day.
Right.
And so standing desks have been kind of a new trend the last couple of years to kind of get people up off their rear ends.
Yeah. Yep.
And so, yeah, I think it's pretty cool. I wish, you know, I actually spend most of my day sitting at a desk, not even way more than 50%. I wish standing desk was an option, but currently it's
not. But isn't.
Not.
Yeah, no. I mean, I'm lucky that I have a desk where I can adjust the height and it has a crank to it.
Mm-hmm.
So if tomorrow I decided that I didn't want a standing desk anymore, I could just, you know, change it basically to be sitting again. So it's nice to have that option where I'm not fully committed or, you know, one way or another, or you have to like order a brand new desk or something
right.
like that. So, yeah.
Well, and I think over time you'll probably get used to it.
Yeah,
it's
I think
no
so.
Different than training. You'll,
exactly.
you'll kind of work up to spending more time just standing and yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Activity streak still going strong. So that's at least 30 minutes of activity every single day. So very happy about that. I think, like I said, as time goes on, it gets a little bit easier. I mean, there's still some days, usually Mondays, where I'm like, oh, I got to do 30 minutes, but I still get it done because I'm not going to break the streak just because I don't feel like it. So what else do I want to say about my training? Oh, just kind of coming up. I'm going to be at the Oakland Marathon Expo this coming weekend.
Mm-hmm.
It's on Saturday all day. So I will be there. If anybody is going to be checking out the expo or running the race and picking up their bib, come by the Ragnar Trail booth and say hi.
Yeah. So that's March 21st.
March 21st. Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah. That'd be more helpful to have the exact date. So, yeah, I think that was it for my week. How was your week?
So I had I don't know what week number this is. I don't have my training plan in front of me like I normally do. But I had a very good week. I'm super happy with how kind of everything went. I actually pushed pretty hard during the week. Perhaps not the best idea when you have a race on the weekend, but it was a race that I...
Yeah, maybe not.
Yeah. It was a race that I really didn't care about in terms of what my time was. You know, we'll talk about it at the end, mm-hmm. the Badger Cove Half, which is a trail race, and was a tough race, probably more so for me than you, but pushed hard during the week, just kind of treated the weekend race as just another long run, I guess, if anything mm-hmm. else. So, but yeah, felt good during the race. It was a tough race, but I'll save that for later. Actually did one day of strength training last week.
Yay.
So hopefully that's a trend that I'm going to try to continue and mm-hmm. kind of improve on that and kind of do some more things other than just running. Assuming I can work it in. I'm not making any promises or commitments or setting up goals. It's just kind of what my plan is at this point. What else from this week? Actually went to go. Well, I had to go do a packet pickup for the race. So it was actually at a running store. So I was, you know, as you do when you pop into a running store, even when you're not planning on buying anything, I decided to kind of look around and I said, oh, let me check out one shoe that I've been hearing a lot about, the, I know, surprising, Under Armour Speedform Gemini. Mm-hmm. I kind of wanted to take a look at the shoe. And of course, the running store did not carry Under Armour. So that idea went out
so
the window.
So much for that.
Yeah, so much for that idea of kind of checking out a totally different shoe and giving it a shot. And then on the weekend, I happened to be at an actual Under Armour store, which is one of their, I guess, call it an outlet store, a factory store. And I decided, oh, let me check if they have the shoe here. I wasn't there to look for the shoe or anything. I just happened to be popping in and let me look if they have the shoe, and they didn't have the shoe either. So, yeah, I guess I'm done with that search for the shoe. I could go order it online or anything, but I really wanted to just see it in person and try it on. So, yeah, that was my short adventure with maybe a new Under Armour shoe.
Ended quickly, huh?
Yeah, ended quickly. You know, yeah. Maybe, I think
not,
I'm just
not for
done.
Not for lack of effort. Two different stores, so
true. And then, yeah, I think that's kind of it for my week, with the exception of the race, which we'll just get into later.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's mention some of the big races from this past weekend. Obviously, LA Marathon, which we'll talk about, R&R DC, Jerusalem Marathon, New York City Half, and the Tobacco Road Marathon. Before we talk about New York, I just wanted to mention we did close out our CJ and Run free race entry giveaway.
Mm-hmm.
And so congratulations to Kishna, who actually won the free entry. And if you didn't win, you can still use that discount code to save 25% off a race reg, which is actually a super good deal.
Yeah.
And the code is?
All caps, SJRAMB246.
And that's good for any of the CJ and Run races, the two kind of here in NorCal and then the one up in Seattle.
Right. And if you didn't get that code, if you're like running or something, yeah, you can just go on our page and there's a link to it too off of our Facebook page. So
yeah,
plenty of opportunity for you to get that.
Cool. Yeah. So thanks to everybody that participated in the giveaway. All right. Let's talk about New York City. I'm going to let you kind of take point on this one.
All right. So New York City Half was this weekend, like you mentioned earlier. And thanks to Beth for kind of letting us know about it, you mm-hmm. know, because sometimes we get focused on what's kind of happening on the West Coast. So it was thank you for letting us know. So in a time of 1:08:31, Molly Huddle actually became the first American to win the New York City Half. That's pretty exciting. A name that we, or at least most of us, know pretty well or have heard. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah, super exciting to have an American win.
Yeah. Second place in the women's race was Kenya's Joyce Chipkiri in a time of 1:08:42. So not too far back. And then Sally Kipyego in a time of 1:09:39 from Kenya was third. In the men's finish, it was a much closer one, basically a photo finish between Leonard Carrier and Stephen Sambu, both Kenyans. He actually outkicked Sambu at the end and took first place by 1 second.
Yeah, it was kind of a ridiculous finish. I mean, the video's
online.
Yeah, watch
the video. Yeah.
Definitely take a look because, you know, I guess as followers of kind of marathons, it's not too often that we actually pay attention to too many halves,
mm-hmm.
but to kind of see photo finishes essentially.
Right. It was as close as it could get from at least from the angle that we saw it. It was like as close as it could get. So.
Yeah, I think the main video shot was kind of from head on, so it's kind of harder to see the difference, which made it more exciting as a viewer. So
right. I wouldn't mind seeing like an aerial view.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Not that I can just request that, but just saying it'd be cool. Yeah.
They'll deliver.
Nice. Yeah. Juan Luis Barrios from Mexico capped off the men's podium in a time of 1:01:14. So just some other notable mentions in terms of American men, because we already talked about the American woman. American men took fifth and sixth place, with Andrew Bumbalo finishing in fifth in 1:02:04. I was giving him a different time, edging out Dathan Ritzenheim by 3 seconds. And then Meb finished in eighth in 1:02:17. Mm-hmm. So some big names there.
Yeah.
I think a lot of them were kind of using it as a tune-up for Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Get ready for that.
Yep. Which is coming up. Ah. Okay. Anyways.
All right. Anything else from New York?
That is it. So moving on to the other side of the
country.
The country.
So off to the West Coast here. LA Marathon this past weekend. 26, I think it's around 26,000 runners. At least that's what I saw the number as being before the race anyway. It was a weekend that was forecasted to be very hot. We actually mentioned that on the last podcast. They did something pretty unique in that they actually moved the start time 30 minutes earlier, which is the first time LA has ever done that before. So probably a very good decision considering the weather. Did turn out to be a very hot day. I guess one of the stories was I actually watched some of the LA Marathon live coverage. It was actually on, I think, was it WGN or something? Some oddball network that I don't watch on TV. If you're in LA, it's on, I think it was KTLA. Channel 5 was the local coverage, but it was also online. So I actually had it up on the TV and up on the computer. And I was kind of, you know, just kind of doing stuff. And so I watched a good chunk of the race, I guess you could say. So followed it as much as I can. I don't know. It's easier to follow. I find Boston more interesting, I guess, to sit and watch on TV than I do LA. But but I still kind of paid attention. They did kind of mention that the heat, for at least for the elites, was... From the announcers, they kind of alluded to that it wasn't as bad as perhaps they had feared and not a major... I mean, obviously, times were off compared to just a cooler year, but maybe not as much of a factor for the elites as they kind of thought it could be. I mean, obviously, for us mortal people that were going to be out there 4, 5, 6, 7 hours, the heat became a very large, huge factor. But the elites have that advantage of being super fast and kind of getting out of there. You know, they're basically back at the hotel where most of us are still... You know, reaching the halfway point, I guess. So they get to avoid a lot of the heat. So stories for the day. The men's winner, Daniel Limo, 2:10.36. Women's winner, Ogla Camayo, in 2:34.10. And, well, before we get to the top Americans, kind of some big-name trail runners were out there trying to run fast. So Max King was out there and actually did qualify for the U.S. Olympic trials. He finished ninth in 2:17.30. And then Sage Kennedy was out there and unfortunately came up a little bit short. 20:20.02, finishing 12th.
Yeah. Still not a bad time, though.
No, no. Yeah. I was actually joking earlier. Like, hey, what are these guys doing out on the road? They're supposed to be out on the trails, you know? Yeah.
Shows their versatility.
True. The big story from the American side was that, you know, this was also the USATF Marathon Championship. So the... Basically for the top American finisher. So Jared Ward was the top American male and actually third overall. So he made the podium. And Blake Russell was the top American female and finished also third overall, taking the last step on the podium.
See a trend there?
Yeah. So overall, a very good day for the Americans. On the women's side, 7 American women actually finished in the top 10, which
That's awesome.
Just seems crazy.
That's awesome.
Yeah, kind of cool stories with just Jared Ward and Blake Russell. Watching the live coverage, Jared Ward was kind of funny because he still had a lot of gas in the tank at the, you know, the last quarter mile of the race, which was almost kind of a situation where, you know, perhaps he saved a little bit too much for the end. But I think he
it
said
happens.
I think he said in post-race interviews, you knew it was going to be a hot day, so you kind of play it a little bit more conservatively.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Just to make sure you can kind of...
On that type of day, you'd probably rather have a little bit extra left.
Yeah, kind of hold back a little bit. And then, you know, if you get to the very end of the race, then you can kind of push it up forward. But it still looked like he left a little bit too much at the end. And then even Blake Russell, she just barely got into third. So it was kind of fun watching her run down the stretch there. So anything else from LA we should mention before we kind of dig into a little bit of a story from it?
No, I think we're good.
So obviously, one of the cool stories was Blake Russell, you know, the top American female at the race. And I actually came across a pretty cool article that kind of had 5 things that she did to kind of, as they said, crush it at the LA Marathon. So I'll actually put a link to the article in the show notes. But it's kind of interesting. Some of the stuff we can relate to, some of the stuff I can't relate to because I don't run that kind of mileage and we're not elite athletes. But to kind of to understand her story, she actually last finished a marathon in 2008. In Beijing at the Olympic marathon there. So, I mean, we're talking, what, 7 years?
Yeah.
For finishing a marathon. Although, I guess, technically, there wasn't that many DNFs. I know she has some small children, so I think she took some time off for kids. And so she hasn't necessarily run a ton of marathons and certainly didn't finish any since 2008. Right. So, kind of a very cool story to kind of do so well at the LA Marathon. She's actually 39 years old. So she's kind of perhaps in that age range where, as an elite, you're probably coming towards the end of your career. You're at least on the tail end, I guess. I think that's fair to say. I'm not being mean or anything.
I think that's kind of the general consensus. Although we are seeing people in that age range kind of just doing better than maybe people before them in that, like Meb last year.
Yeah. 39 seems to be an awesome age too.
Yeah. Okay.
So just got to wait
till 39 and then. That's when I'll win my marathon.
Yeah. And I don't know what to tell you if you're past 39.
Yeah, right. You missed it.
So they kind of cite five things that kind of were, I guess, integral in kind of her success at this race. So number one was she timed it wisely.
Mm-hmm.
She actually did the New York City Marathon at about mile 10. She actually did not feel good. Hamstring kind of flared up and she actually made the decision, which obviously now was a smart decision, to drop out of that race. An attempt to kind of give herself some time to recover, but she still wanted to kind of capitalize on her fitness. So she kind of, you know, we do that thing where you kind of look on the calendar and you start figuring out the next race, and LA kind of fit the schedule where she could kind of recover from that a bit, but then still get in some training. So I guess she took off most of December, and then she still had at least 11 solid weeks of training getting ready for the LA marathon. So I guess she made the right decisions in number one, you know, knowing how her body felt at that race and making the wise decision to drop out, and then kind of picking perhaps, I guess, the perfect race to kind of come back and take another crack at it.
Yeah.
So number two, she made some big changes in her training. So that old saying is what insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
Mm-hmm.
So she actually moved to coaching herself. I think she did keep her longtime coach as a consultant. One of the things she decided to trust her gut when it told her to ratchet up her mileage and get off the track. So she typically used to run around 100 miles a week.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the part where I say can't relate, because 100 miles to me is insane for an elite. It's actually not that much mileage.
Yeah.
So she actually made the decision to kind of run more. She added evening runs into her weekly totals and actually drove up her weekly mileage to about 115, 120, which is more on par with kind of elite runners. So that was kind of the first part of it. And then she also decided to move her speed work off of the track onto the roads.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of using that mentality, well, if you're going to race on the road, kind of made sense to train more on the road.
Yeah, makes sense.
And I guess that apparently worked wonders for her. She actually did a fitness test out on the track. She did an 800 meter workout. And that was actually the fastest she had done in 8 years. And that was kind of leading up to the LA marathon. So I guess she was definitely on point before LA. Which kind of explains why she ran so confidently and did so well at the race.
Yeah.
Number three, she stopped ignoring her weakness. So apparently she was not a fan of long marathon-paced workouts. So apparently she would avoid those in the past. But this time, those long workouts were pretty much the centerpiece of her training. She increased the number of times she did the workout. I think she was doing it roughly every 2 weeks. And she extended the length from 12 to about 15 miles. The funny part, I think you were laughing at, was her pace, which 5:40 pace,
right?
Which is another, can't relate to that at all. But apparently, you know, kind of making those changes to her workouts definitely helped her. She's super happy about that, and she's actually going to incorporate kind of that same strategy going forward in getting ready for the Olympic marathon trials in February of next year. Number four, she set priorities. So she actually, you know, she does have two young children,
mm-hmm.
so they can definitely get in the way of kind of consistent training and doing things. So she actually, I guess, let go of some of her weight and core workouts and focused on her essentials, which for her was her roll recovery and working on her, I guess she has injury-prone calves,
mm-hmm.
And then eating carbs and protein after a workout. So she kind of focused on making sure that she ate the right things within that 30-minute window mm-hmm. post-workout. So I guess she just had to kind of prioritize things perhaps a little bit differently than she would in the past. And then number five, she embraced race day temps. So we knew it was going to be a warm day. I think before we kind of knew about the weather, she was kind of focused on doing around a 2:28 time. But she kind of came into it with, you know, just a whatever, no panic attitude. And you know, the weather would bring whatever it would bring. So she stayed with the front pack. She hydrated well. She did have the experience of that 2008 Beijing marathon, which was a warm one. She definitely can draw on that experience. And she was kind of up there with the leaders and finished off very strong. I mean, she actually had to kind of get past Japan's, is it Mao Kuroda, who ended up finishing fourth. So she had to get past her at the end. So, yeah, she didn't kind of, you know, panic with the hot weather and kind of came with a very smart approach. You know, she obviously finished in 2:34.57, obviously well off of the 2:28 she planned, but nobody planned on it kind of being
as warm as it was.
Right. So, yeah, so that's the list. I just thought it was kind of interesting seeing some of the things that she had tweaked. You know, obviously upping a mileage is kind of an easy one to kind of pinpoint to, but kind of focusing on those longer marathon pace runs for her was a pretty big contributing factor to that.
Yeah.
And then kind of focusing,
And then moving her speed work onto the road. Mm-hmm. You know, if she was feeling kind of, I don't know if bored is the correct word, but not wanting to really be on the track as much. You know, so she moved over to the road. Plus, like you said, you know, she's going to be racing on the road, you know, moving that training to the road too.
Right. I mean, she definitely mentioned that she needed the mental change up of kind of maybe spending so much time in the past on the track to moving that speed work to the road and it being different. You know, we always need that change, something different, you know.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Yeah,
we can all relate to that at one point or another. Yep. So, yeah, so... Anything else from LA Marathon other than we're going to talk a little bit or just one line about 2016?
Yeah, I know nothing before that.
So actually, right before we started recording, I happened to be on Facebook and I realized apparently LA Marathon is opening their registration for us right now. It's tomorrow. Registration will be open for 2 days, March 19th through the 20th, as kind of an early open reg. It's only going to be open for those 2 days and then it will close back up and then reopen when it was supposed to open, September 1st. So cost for the race is $160.
Mm-hmm.
They were I don't know what it cost this year to do LA
I don't
Marathon.
Either.
A lot of the comments I saw said that it basically, the early reg this past, for 2015 was $160. So it's basically the same. So I don't know if they're going to be raising prices this year when regular reg comes around.
Maybe early reg is only 2 days this year.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. So if you want to do LA and you're listening to this on time, You will get those 2 days to kind of jump in the race for $160. We had actually been planning for a long time to do the 2016 marathon in LA because of the tie-in with the Olympic marathon trials. So unless we change our mind and back out in the next 24 hours, we'll probably be jumping on the ridge in the next 2 days and just kind of locking that into our 2016 calendar.
Yeah.
Because I think we've basically penciled it in kind of anyways. So.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So... that's LA. Let's kind of get on to the race that we did this past weekend. We're not going to spend a huge time about it, but we'll talk a little bit about it. Badger Cove Half Marathon, kind of a local race, trail race. They actually had a half marathon, 5K, and a 10K. Well, the half marathon is actually 13.5 miles.
Right. So it's their ultra half. Yeah. So it's part of their ultra half series that we've mentioned before.
Well, I just want to make sure I give myself credit for the extra, you know, 0.4.
0.4.
That's extra mileage, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, and this is a race that's part of that ultra half series that we're going to be completing this year. This was for me. Well, I guess both of us race number 3.
It's race number 4 for me.
Oh, you're ahead of me.
I did Tarantula.
Oh, okay.
At the end of last year.
Okay, so for me,
so I only need 3. One more before Rocky Ridge. You need 2 more.
2 more. So I got my work cut out for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So different course this year for the race, which was I had never done the half before, so it made no difference to me.
I'd done the half twice before. And it was nice to have a different course.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not that I didn't like the other one, but it was just something different.
This was the type of course that if you like out and backs,
you
would love this course. If you hate out and backs, you'd probably hate this course.
Yeah.
Because I think we went out and back. If you count the one lollipop section, which has obviously a little part of it that's out and back, I think that's 4 out and backs.
2, 3, 4.
I'm
yeah,
fairly sure.
And then there's another section that you actually run twice, but at a different time. So
yeah,
it's
I'm counting
like 5.
Now. Okay, so 4 or 5
anyways,
out and back. So if you like out and backs, this was up your alley. I actually enjoyed kind of just seeing runners go in the opposite direction, and actually did see you out on the course on the out and backs twice.
I think so.
I saw another friend.
3 times actually.
3 times.
Yeah, yeah.
Saw another friend 2 or 3 times out there on the course. So it was kind of nice seeing people that you know multiple times, and you can almost. To a certain degree, I guess, use it as a very, very loose judgment on how you're doing.
Right.
So, because I know when
like
I saw you...
Like if that gap is getting bigger or smaller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, when I saw you on the first out and back, I actually thought... I kind of saw you, I guess, sooner than I thought I would.
Oh, on that very first one.
Yeah, the very first one.
Or like you were probably climbing and I was coming down.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Then the second one.
Oh, okay.
That second one. And I was like, ooh, I was kind of worried because like, wow, maybe the sound back section is longer than what I thought it would be. So I was like worried when I saw you. I was like, oh, I think I have a long way to go to get to the actual turnaround and come back. But I don't think I was actually that far behind you at that point.
Our gap just wasn't that much, huh?
Yeah. I mean, this is still early on the race. So I just had assumed you had put more time into me by that point than you actually had. So by the end, you put a lot of time between us. But I guess
I probably started off a little bit more conservatively.
Okay.
On purpose. So.
Well, yeah, actually, I did too. So yeah, so lots of out and backs. It was projected to be a very warm day. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't just LA. It was all of California. It was unseasonably warm.
Yeah.
So this is out on the hills. It's an area that the location of this race, if you go back there in the summer, in probably July or August, it's probably on average, it's in the 90s. Mm-hmm. So that's why this race is in March.
Yeah, and typically during that time, the hills are like brown or like a yellow. Thankfully, they were still green right now.
Yeah, so it ended up being very beautiful hills. They were covered in green grass. I think Sam, who runs Raisin over there, called them Emerald Hills.
Yeah, I would agree.
And it's kind of a St. Patrick's Day themed race.
Yeah.
St. Patrick's Day was on Tuesday. So
I had my green on.
Yeah, lots of green on the runners and lots of green on the hill. So it was kind of a great, it all came together, I guess, very nicely. And then you get views. There's actually a lake there. So you actually have views of the lake, which is a very nice view. There's actually more water in the lake than I thought there would be.
Yeah.
Considering California's drought situation.
And the lake's actually, I mean, I've been to this park a lot of times and the lake is actually bigger than I thought because I actually got to see a section of a lake that I didn't know existed or I hadn't seen before.
Really?
Because I didn't realize. Yeah. You know, when we were off on like that single track section and we could see that, I was like, oh, I don't think I've been here before. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. I actually went there a lot. Story that nobody cares about, but actually went there a lot as a kid and used to go out fishing on the lake with my dad and stuff. So been out there many, many times and been there.
So you've probably seen the whole lake.
Yeah. I've been from one end all the way to the other. It's not that big a lake, but So what else? Most of it's kind of fire road, a little bit of single track, which you mentioned. It's a very small section, which was funny because when we were descending into that little section, I'm like, oh, this is great. This downhill is so awesome, except for the fact that I know I'm going to have to climb back up the other side.
Yep. But you did.
Which I did. Yeah. And it was super tough because that's kind of past the midway point to the race as you're kind of getting late in the race. But for a trail race, it's not a technically difficult race.
No, not at all.
At all.
Not at all. Although the elevation gain and loss is what, like 2,100?
Somewhere between 2,000 and 2,500.
Yeah,
I'm not quite
sure exactly. Oh, 20. They listed as 2,500.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for me, you know, this was actually, I talk about it being my third trail half in this series. It's actually my third trail half ever.
Right.
So,
good point.
Definitely my most difficult trail half. The two that I did kind of surrounding New Year's were definitely easier than this one. This one's just more elevation, a little bit tougher. And then the fact that the weather just got pretty warm.
Yeah.
Especially down towards the end. And there's not a ton of, you're pretty exposed the entire time.
Yeah.
Not a lot of shade. I think there was some shade.
Very few sections.
Yeah.
With shade.
So for me, it was a tough race. I definitely had fun, but it was definitely tough.
Yeah.
Anything else? What else am I missing here?
Well, just a couple of things I wanted to say is it's funny, even though I'm out there for a longer period of time on a trail half marathon, and then with this one being longer than a traditional half marathon, like the mileage seems to go by quicker. I don't know if it's just like I'm so like, this may sound weird, but I'm so like distracted and busy. Like, I'm like, okay, I have to climb this. Like, okay, I have to like descend this. Okay, like 8 stations there. All right, this is happening. And then before you know it, I'm like, oh, like 4 miles have ticked by. And not that they were easy miles, but it just seems to go by faster. Maybe because there's more things to look at. I don't know. It just felt like mileage wise, it was each mile was ticking off faster than maybe it seems like it would have on a road half marathon. I don't know if that's just me or it was just that type of day for me. I don't know.
I mean, I completely agree with you because I think we were actually talking about that after the race a little bit, right? I know for me, I was out there almost 3 hours, which for me would be on a road half to mean something went wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess. So that's a really long time to be out there for a half. And it didn't feel like I was out there almost 3 hours.
Right.
So time definitely.
Yeah, I mean, it was tough, but it didn't feel like, like that long.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked the course. I like the out and backs. Even, I mean, seeing people that I know like you was nice because I'm looking for you. I'm looking for you. But it was also nice just to kind of see the same people like over and over too. Mm-hmm. You know, like with each out and back, it's like, oh, there's that person again. Oh, yeah, there's that person with that funny hat. There's that person with this, you know, or whatever it is. So it's kind of cool to see that. Oh, and then one thing I wanted to mention on the first couple of miles on the hills and or just in the race in general, I was kind of going back and forth with somebody else. You know, like we'd be pretty even on the hills. I'd pass her on the downhills. We'd be pretty even on the flats. And then she'd like catch up at some point. And so we were just kind of like back and forth. And it was one of those things where I was like, okay, I'm probably going to see her like quite a bit, you know, during the race because you just have that feeling. And we were on this pretty steep climb and, you know, we're both breathing hard and, you know, just power hiking. And it was just really funny because she looks over at me and she's like, so what's your strategy for hills? You know, and I was just like, not to die. You know, we just, you know, I mean, have jokingly, but just to kind of lighten up the mood. And, you know, she was just laughing too. And, but no, I said, no, but really, you know, like this is what I'm trying to do. And I'm like, you know, I'm taking, you know, shorter steps and trying to engage my glutes, you know, for power. She's like, that's a really good idea. You know, but it was just funny because she said it and I was just like the first thing that came to mind because it's like I was already kind of warm and I was out of breath and I'm like, I just don't want to die. So I just thought that was funny. Wanted to share that. Not that that really is helpful in any way with this race recap, but
well, not dying,
just something that I experienced.
That's
so.
Good advice for a race. Yeah. Now, this is a different course than last year. Did you like this year's course or last year's better? I think they made the change because there was an issue with part of the trail.
Yeah.
Where they couldn't do the race there.
Right.
So that's
and I think they're going to be going back to the old course. Yeah. I think I liked this course a little bit better, but I don't know how much of that is because it was just something new. Mm-hmm. Like it just wasn't the course that I had done twice before. Mm-hmm. So,
but and you, you thought better. It was a little bit harder, right?
Yeah, it was a little bit harder. Although I just thought about it. You know, you're talking about it was mostly fire roads, very little single track. Mm-hmm. And like technically it wasn't very difficult. I think technically the most difficult part was the grass at the beginning and the grass at the end. Just because like there's hidden like little holes, you know?
Yeah, running.
So I think the technical part, for me personally, the hardest part like with footing and like making sure I don't step in a hole was like the grass. So I know that sounds bizarre, but
no, I think you're absolutely right because if you've ever run, you know, sometimes, you know, a lot of local 5Ks and 10Ks seem to be the most common thing, but it, you know, they start or finish at kind of your local community park. And so, you know, the finish line or start line is out in the middle of the huge grassy section. And yeah, it's a complete death trap out there because yeah, there's tons of little gopher holes and random rocks.
And like those little grass knots. I don't know what you call them, but where it's like this little hard patch of grass or weed or something.
So. Yeah. So, I mean, that's usually the section where I almost twist an ankle, you know, five times during a race. It's just that little finish and the start. So I completely know what you're talking about and agree 100%.
And I think part of it too is because it's either at the beginning when you're super excited and not paying attention and there's a bunch of people around you, or at the end when you're already tired and you kind of let your guard down. I'm like, oh, I can see the finish line. It's just grass. So, I mean, I think I'm exaggerating a bit, but when I was just thinking about it when I was on there, I'm like, wow, I have to be really careful right here. Like I almost twisted an ankle, even though I made it this far, you know, without doing that. So it was a fun race.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. Race. You know, personally, I was out there, I wasn't shooting for a time or anything. I was just going out there, have fun, you know, just considering it a training run. I did kind of think about a mile and a half to go. I was kind of checking my time and I knew I was closing in on 3 hours and kind of did the, what I like to call fuzzy math that you kind of do during a race.
Trying to figure it out.
Trying to figure out, okay, wait, what pace do I got to run to kind of come in before 3 hours? And I did the math in my head, which I don't really trust during a race. And I kind of figure, oh yeah, I got no problem coming in before three. And I didn't have a problem coming in before three. But yeah, it was kind of a long time to be out there. But I was super happy that the last mile and a half were basically downhill.
Yeah, that was nice.
So, it helped the finish seem much easier, especially as temperatures kind of rise and you're getting tired at that point.
So. Yeah. And there was two places where we had to cross a road where cars were coming in or leaving, depending, you know, to get to the parking lot or leaving the park itself. But they did a really good job of having people there stopping traffic when we're, you know, crossing. So it wasn't an issue there. Shirts were green, which they always are for this race. We opted for no shirts because we have a lot of race shirts. And one of the great things about Brazen Racing is that they allow you to select an option to not get a shirt and deduct, $5 off your registration?
Five or $6.
Yeah, something like that. So we did that. Medals, I really like. It's got a rainbow on it. What's not to like? It's on our Instagram and on our
webpage.
Webpage. And then ribbon is really nice with the name of the race and everything. They're, I think, I don't know if it's this year or just recently that they definitely have stepped their game up on the ribbons is the best way I can say it. So yeah, I really like it.
Yeah. So that was the race. They had the typical post-race food, which included it's an ice cream at the end, which I did grab one on the way out. So that's always nice to have afterwards along with all the other goodies that they have. I do like their aid stations during the race because I did grab a bunch of pretzels and chips just going for the saltiness.
Yeah.
I think that was at the 10-mile aid station that I kind of just grabbed a whole handful and kind of walked away from the aid station just kind of eating it. So
I had some amazing orange slices.
Yeah. Yeah. Tasty at the race.
Yeah. Orange slices are always the best when running or racing. So yeah, that was pretty much the race.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the one thing I'm going to say post-race is I actually felt pretty good right after the race. And the days after the race, I definitely realized that I did kind of beat myself up. It was definitely a tougher race than I thought. I've actually had some shin pain since the race. So I've run once since, and I actually had to cut that race short because my shin was bothering me. So hopefully it's just kind of the general soreness from the race, and that'll kind of pass over the next couple of days, and I'll feel good by the weekend. So
I think you will.
We'll see. I was a little bit worried yesterday. I was out on a run. I was like, oh.
Well, I think you felt better when you turned and asked me, like, your legs have been feeling fine since the race? And I said, no. I'm like, they never feel fine after a trail race. I'm like, they've been sore. You're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I was worried. I was the only one, you know, struggling there for a bit.
Yeah. So. I think for me, I'm just like, it's just a given that I don't even like, oh, hey, my legs are sore. It's just, I'm like, okay, that's just, you know.
Well, for me, it wasn't
what it is.
You know, the soreness was fine. It was just the pain that kind of threw me. So, but yeah, other than that, I'm super happy with kind of how the race began. And it was a fun race. Well organized. No problems. Yeah. No issues. So
now you have to pick another one to do.
Yeah. So now I still have, to kind of digress a little bit. After doing this race, which was tougher than my previous trail halves, I think I said before that the championship race in this series is Rocky Ridge. And I was kind of scared of that race before this past weekend. And I think I'm more scared of it now after this race being so tough. So, yeah, I'm just more worried about Rocky Ridge at this point. Yeah. So, but I still have lots of months between now and then and several races. So I'm hoping to be ready. Actually, the biggest thing I'm kind of worried about is I'm just hoping it's not a hot day.
Right.
For the last race.
It'll make a big difference
series.
Whether it's hot or not.
Because
so.
I tend to kind of melt away in the heat.
Yeah.
It's not my strong suit. Nobody does great in the heat, but I think I
you
probably
like
melt
really deteriorate.
More than most. Yeah. All right. Should we get to some feedback?
Yeah.
Incoming message.
So we heard from Sean in regards to Michael Wardian's 50K treadmill record that we spoke to last time. He says he has a hard enough time staying on the treadmill for 5K, let alone 50K.
I agree.
Yeah. And then he also took us along for a 15-mile long run this weekend, and that was fun. No. Just kidding. He was listening to us. So heard from Linda, who was letting me know that I did say Fryhoffers correctly. So I'm very proud of that because I just, you know, did my best there. She says it's a great race, but it can be quite hot sometimes. That's kind of like the theme that we've been talking about, right? Yeah. Like just hot. First year she ran it, they ran out of water at the first water stop, but it's only a 5K, so not a big deal. She said it's in the past, it's been a national road champion race, which we talked about as well. In the area there, Albany, 5,000 person race is pretty big. And yeah, I would think 5,000 person 5K is pretty big.
Yeah, but how do you run out of water at the first aid station of a 5K? That just seemed, I mean, I know it's a big race.
You had enough water for the first 10 people.
But I still don't understand that.
That's a good point. Yeah.
It's not a situation where
there was, about that.
You know, 20 aid stations out there or anything
right.
like that. So.
And like one of them ran out, right? It was like their one aid station.
Yeah, their percentage of aid stations that ran out of water is not good.
Yeah, 100%.
There was probably two, I guess.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I just assumed there was one because it's, I don't know. Oh yeah, she did say first water stop. Yeah. So I guess there is more than one. So, going along with the whole heat and warm weather theme, we heard from Carol, who was down in LA for the LA Marathon. She said it was pretty hot on Saturday, the day before. So she was planning, you know, to go slow for the race on Sunday. She was going to put her hat in the freezer in the, you know, little fridge in the hotel and take a cold shower, you know, kind of do anything she could to keep herself, cool, but did hear from her later in the day that it was just, you know, temps were a little too warm for her, and she called it a day and, you know, didn't make it through, but hey, it's better to be safe, you know, and she gave it her best.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's always going to be another race.
Yeah, you're not going to have a great day no matter what, so there's nothing wrong with kind of saving the legs.
Exactly.
And doing kind of similar to the Blake Russell thing, you know, if you have a race.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
yeah.
Save the legs for another race in the future. So,
right.
We didn't get into it. Lots of people needed, medical aid at the race. That kind of made a lot of the news stories in Southern California. I don't like to quote the numbers because I never know. They always talk about the number of runners that needed, you know, emergency services, but we don't know what the number was last year. So
right. So was it, you know, we don't know if it's the same.
You know, I'm sure it was more, but sometimes you start to quote those numbers and they sound kind of way off. So I didn't want to quote some of those numbers, but it was definitely a hot day and definitely tons of people out there struggling with the heat. So
I heard from John. This is an interesting story. I found it pretty interesting. So letting us know that the mayor of Saskatoon announced that there's going to be a mayor's marathon day. That's going to take place on June 21st. So the mayor is going to be running 54.72K. Others can join him and run 42K, so marathon, or shorter distances, half marathon, 10K, 5K, or 2K. However, most people in the area that would be running a marathon are probably going to be running the marathon 3 weeks before, which is basically the big marathon in the area, the Saskatchewan Marathon on May 31st, including John. Mm-hmm. So he does plan to run the mayor's half marathon, but it's just, yeah, it was he actually sent a link to an article about it. It's just kind of interesting that seems like the impression that I get, and maybe I'm getting the wrong impression, is that the mayor said, hey, I want to run this ultra, so I'm going to create it, and all of you can join me for the remaining however many miles if you want to join me. So,
but how come nobody else can run the ultra? It's only the mayor that's running the ultra,
that is
right?
True. The full 54.72K isn't being offered up for anybody
yeah,
else.
Yeah, that's just the mayor. So I guess if you want to do that distance, you have to first run, become mayor, and then that's your race.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. Because apparently only the mayor can run the ultra on the mayor's marathon day.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. John's also envious that we're not running in cold weather. I'm a little envious for people running in a slightly cooler weather. I'm not going to say cold, but I'm going to say a slightly cooler weather.
Yeah. It is crazy that, you know, here in California, you know, we're talking about all these hot temperatures and hot races from the weekend. And obviously there's parts of the country that are still extremely cold and still
that are freezing, literally freezing.
Feel like winter, and you know, here in California, we've basically, I think the entire state of basically, we're just calling it summer from here on out that's what it feels like. So,
yeah, he also is wanting to run a race in California. I was asking us for suggestions. We recommended Big Sur, of course.
Yeah, I think that's always our number one California recommendation.
Yeah, and then we also mentioned Napa Valley Marathon, which we haven't run but has been recommended to us by many
people.
Yeah, so. And we plan to do at some point. So, yeah. Also heard from Margo, who was letting us know about Kid Runner, which is a new jogger to take your kids. It's basically a hands-free jogger, and they are behind you. So it's like a belt or some sort of waist attachment, and then that's attached to this egg-shaped, I don't know.
Yeah, it's not,
I don't know how to explain, like how to describe it.
It's not hugely different than a standard kind of running stroller, except for the big difference is the major difference is instead of pushing it, you're pulling it. Which has the advantage of you don't have to use your hands, but then you have that disadvantage of, well, your kid is now behind you, so you can't see your kid.
Mm-hmm.
And from the video that I saw, it looks like your kid has a very bumpy ride.
Yeah, it does.
I mean,
it does.
To me, it looks like the child in the back would really be bouncing.
Yeah. And if that child bounces out of there and they're behind you, you may not know.
Well, I think it had a zipper enclosure, so you could essentially see them in there.
I'm sure kids can figure out zippers.
That's true. So you might get to the halfway point and realize your child jumped out
back there
10 miles back.
Exactly.
Yeah, it looked a little bit odd. I'd be curious to know what some parents who have kind of used, you know, the regular kind of running strollers, if they see this as an advantage or not. And I think one of the videos, it was Max King, right?
Yeah.
That they got to go use it in a local
10K, I think.
10K, yeah. Which I think he won.
Right.
Even towing that was still enough to, you know, wasn't enough to slow him down and keep him from getting the win. So that was pretty funny.
I think it's going to be available sometime this summer.
But it's crazy expensive.
Yeah. As of now, it's what they report. It's going to be listed as is $1,200. So,
which to me just seems crazy insane in terms of price. I know a lot of the big brand running strollers, you know, come in that $300 to $600 range already anyways, but you're still talking basically double that.
Yeah.
Hurts your pocketbook.
Yeah, no kidding. So we also heard from Lee, who shared an article regarding a man running nude in Montreal. So there's a short video clip that shows him running. He's got shoes on and I think a beanie or some sort of hat. And then like just there's snow like all around him, but he's just running nude. And apparently it's not like a one-time thing. He's been doing this and there's neighbors who have called to complain and finally this neighbor, you know, took video and I don't know what's going to be done about it. It's kind of funny, but it's also like, put some clothes on.
Yeah.
And why? It's literally freezing. There's snow. You're running like through and past snow. Why?
Literally what I said to you was, I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
I don't get why this guy is out there running
naked.
It's not warm temperatures. It's not a naked race that, you know, he's running with 300 people that are also naked.
It could be a naked race of one.
He's like that mayor.
That's what I was going to say. He created his own naked race, but only he can compete.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to go with that.
All right. That's going to be the final story.
That's how we're going to end it.
All right. I think that's going to do it for this week.
Yeah.
No race next week. Our next race is 2 weeks away. So
yes,
it will be out at the Modesto Half Marathon in 2 weeks. So that's
and we'll probably
one.
Get to see a few of you out there. So that'll be fun.
So not too much going on this coming week other than trying to get long runs in as we prepare for future races. So
and come see me at the Oakland Marathon Expo.
Yeah. Come say hello.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's going to do it.
The website for the podcast is embracerunning.com. You could find us on Facebook at facebook.com/embracerunning. Send us any comments, questions, or feedback at feedback@embracerunning.com or leave us a voicemail at 925-400-7223. If you enjoy the show, give us a review on iTunes. So until next time, embrace running.